welcome everybody to another episode of The Inheritance. I am outstanding right now, feeling so wonderful right now. You don't even know what I'm about to drop on you today. Who I have in the building. I got a dear friend of mine I just met, and she is incredible.
Oh, thank you. She is
going to drop some inheritance on you today. Today's episode is all about learning from a CPA in North Carolina. I keep telling y'all, North Carolina has that juice, man. We got so much potential here and so many professionals and experts here. It is insane. I'm glad that we're still in the running as for Jeff Bezos and Amazon. It shows a lot of what we have coming our way.
Absolutely.
So like I said, today's episode is all about the CPA, learning from a CPA. And I have today with me Ms. Faith Bynum, okay, with Faith Bynum CPA. Her firm is out. It's incredible. She's a business change agent.
Oh, wow.
When I had a conversation with her, it was incredible. And I said, I got to put you on the show.
Hey, I appreciate the invitation for sure.
So without further ado, what up, Faith?
Hey, what's up, Brantley? How are you?
Hey, I feel great.
Hey, it's Monday.
Yeah,
but
it's Monday.
Here. The sun's out.
It's shining. It feels good. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, I appreciate the invitation for sure.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all about dropping an inheritance for our people. And I think you got a lot to give. So I want to get right to it. So before we get there, what should this great state know about you? What's your story?
Man.
Like before business, what's your story?
Woo, how much time do we have? Okay, I'm going to do my best to give the abbreviated version. Mm-hmm. I am from Durham, North Carolina, presently reside in Raleigh.
Right.
My parents, Bobby and Phyllis Bynum, shout out to them.
Shout out.
And my brother Marlon, hello. But at any rate, I grew up in a rather strict Christian household.
Wow.
And my dad, he was an entrepreneur, and my mother, she actually stayed home.
Wow.
And she was a homemaker, but she helped my dad in the business in the background. And so as we talk and speak more about entrepreneurship, I actually had a small model with my parents.
Wow.
That's something that a lot of people do not know.
Yeah.
My father, he had a 10th grade education.
Really?
And yeah, he dropped out of school, but he ended up learning a trade. My parents, they lived in New York for a number of years, and while in Brooklyn, he picked up a trade. And he learned how to lay, he did floor covering, carpet, tile, linoleum, and the like. And so from there, he started a business called Bynum Carpet Service. That's what it started off as.
Yeah,
and then it transitioned into Bynum Floor Covering. And he did that for about 20-something-odd years.
That's awesome.
But in 1995, my father had five strokes. I was 15. As soon as he had turned 50, he had those strokes. And
wow.
So life had never really been
the
same.
How did that rock the family?
Oh my gosh. It was, those were some trying times because I had to go out and immediately go get a job.
Yeah.
And I can say I'm 37 years old.
No
and
way.
You look
18.
Hey, I'll take it. I will take it. But I've been working now for, 22 years and straight. And
wow.
But that was what, I mean, we didn't have a nest egg to fall back on. My father, he was a business owner, but entrepreneurship and really understanding all of the nuggets that goes into it. So at any rate, watched him. We lived on credit cards. We went from making some business income to living off of credit cards the next year.
Wow.
And so that was another thing that had gotten me interested in finances.
I was going to say, what sparked that?
My mother is a natural accountant. So you know, she didn't go to school for it.
Yeah.
What I learned later on in life was that she wanted to, but that's a whole another story for another day. But she was just committed to the family and the church.
Yeah.
And so, but she always prayed that I would stick with accounting once I made that my major.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. True story. And so I went into accounting. I went to NCCU, North Carolina Central University.
Shout out, Eagles.
So I graduated in 2004. From there, I started working for a nonprofit organization called The Initiative.
Yeah.
I was there for about 10 and a half years.
Wow.
And from there, I had a little girl. Her name is Madison.
Wow. Hey, Madison.
Hey, girl. She better be in school right now. So at any rate, she was born in 06. After that, I went on to go get my MBA in accounting. After that, I took the CPA exam and became licensed in 2012. And kind of hustled business on the side.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Went into full-time entrepreneurship in January of 2015. And now we're here.
So you're a full-blooded entrepreneur.
Well, I'm in this thing.
You in this thing 100%.
Good gracious.
Oh, my goodness. So let's talk about you becoming a business owner. What was that journey like to fully jump in 2015? What was that journey like?
Well, really good question. So it's amazing. In 2012, when I had passed the CPA exam, I'll never forget, I put it on Facebook. I'm like, oh, with tears coming down my face. I just thank the Lord that I passed this exam. And so from there, as soon as I did that, I had gotten my first client. Now, I was doing taxes on the side. I may have had like 3 to 5 clients on the side that I was already had taxes for.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to Akiba Bird. He was actually my first bookkeeping client at the time.
Yeah.
He called me up. He was like, hey, I need your help.
It's something about them first time clients.
Man,
when you first
let
start
me
out.
Tell you, those first time clients, Jennifer Mason, Chester Will. I mean,
yeah.
It's DeMarcus Will. Like,
yeah.
It's a handful of them that they are just so special to me.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're still with me or they've moved on to other things,
mm-hmm.
they will
mm-hmm.
always hold a special place in my heart.
Most
because
definitely.
These people, they really truly believe in the vision
yeah.
that I had. And so at any rate, So I had those first time clients. And so from 2012 to 2014, I was, like, the word had gotten out, like, you know, Faith is a CPA, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of 2014, I will never forget this. One of my clients, DeMarcus Williams, I was talking to him one day and I said, man, I said, I'm on this job and my job, I was making great money. I had awesome benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
And however, there was a tugging and a pulling
mm-hmm.
for entrepreneurship, but I really did not know how to make that leap because I had a mortgage.
Come on,
I have a child.
Yeah.
I have a car payment. I have things to do.
Mm-hmm. This ain't play.
Yeah, no, this isn't play. So how can I even imagine or fathom the thought of going from a full-time job to entrepreneurship. And so I'll never forget this. He told me, he said, Faith, you are pregnant with vision. And this was around February.
Because a lot of people won't speak into your life like that.
No, they won't.
What did that do for you?
What that did was that it was the first inkling of spirituality in my life, like, okay, this is what I desire to do, but there is a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not about Faith Bynum as a person.
Mm.
This is way greater. This is much larger.
Mm-hmm.
There is an assignment for me, and the pathway is through finances to help people.
Mm.
He said, you are pregnant with vision, but it is not your time to deliver. So this was like February of 2014.
So you need to do more prepping.
For sure. Clientele is starting to grow. And in September of 2014, my entrepreneurship delivery date happened because I was laid off of my job after 10 and a half years.
Come on.
Now, let me tell you the realness now. Allow me to do this it wasn't pretty at first, because when I was laid off, I mean, I immediately panicked. Mm. And I was so dramatic. I went home and I laid out on the floor. I was like, oh, Lord, how am I baby going to eat? Me and my baby, we just going to be poor.
Yeah.
And you know, I was dramatic. Yeah. But after the emotion settled, after a couple of months, it was shown and it was revealed. And my clients at the time, not too many people tell you congratulations when you're laid off.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, you know, Faith, we saw it coming. I mean, you really need to be in your own space. Mm, and so... Mm.
And that was good, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, and even my my supervisor at the time, she had told me some years ago, she said, Faith, you don't need to walk into another job.
Right.
Entrepreneurship is for you. I do not see you going into another job after this. I really see you going into your own. So I had the nuggets that were dropped throughout the time, and it was just a matter of it actually manifesting itself.
I hope y'all are hearing this inheritance right now, because she is dropping. She is dropping it for you. So what is it like owning a CPA firm? Specifically, like, in the triangle. Like,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are needed. CPA, being a certified public accountant, you really don't realize how much you're needed until you actually become a CPA.
Really?
For sure, because, you know, finances and money, those are just some really sensitive topics.
Right.
For both individuals and businesses.
Right.
So when you're talking about the bottom line for a business, or budgets for a business, or if you're talking with a couple and they're about to get married and they have two totally different philosophies on how finances should be handled, you realize the importance of what it is that a CPA, or the significance of what it is that we do. And so running a firm, it started off for me as, you know, I had to kind of be the expert on the tax side, on the accounting side, and the like. But that swiftly changed, because as your business begins to grow, it's very important for the owner to understand what their strengths are, and you operate in those strengths and you build your team.
Wow.
And so the best thing that I could do was to evaluate exactly what it is that I was good at.
Yep.
I'm only good at like two things, really. Like two or three. That's about it. Let's
Me too.
You know, just, I can roll with those two to three now. Ask me to do more than that, it's a problem. But as my job is to understand the business growth, learn from the mistakes, be accountable, and you get the right people and put them in the right places so they can exercise their strengths.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. And so whether it's a CPA firm, a law firm, a doctor's office, a floor covering business, regardless of the business, I think that those are like some really good foundational tools that, regardless of what my industry is, any business owner in your first 5 years, you have to learn those things.
Immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. And then, you know, you figure out the rest in between. You're going to make your mistakes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Right. Like, I have a list of mistakes that we've made, but you bounce back.
Right.
You bounce back. Right. So
it taught you so much.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, that's
absolutely
hot. Can you break down the CPA, like this industry, what it means?
For sure.
Like, for, you know, so some, okay, I see. I know you're working in finance, but like, I rarely hear the industry broken down.
Absolutely.
You know? Can you break it down?
CPA, or the accounting industry, take out CPAs. Overall, the accounting industry is multifaceted. So you have people, they say, oh, you do taxes. Well, yeah, but what type of taxes do we do? Mm-hmm. Now, this is the industry overall. Mm-hmm. You have individual.
Right.
You have business.
Mm-hmm.
And then under the business, you have just a degree of different types of business taxes that are done.
Mm-hmm.
Estate taxes. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so
much.
It's just such a plethora of tax categories. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. again, when someone say, oh, okay, well, do you do taxes? Then the follow-up question is definitely, what type of taxes do you do? then it's also the bookkeeping side. You have bookkeeping, you have financial statement preparation, you have budget and cash flow analysis.
Is that stuff hard?
It can be.
Yeah.
Even if you are well-versed,
mm-hmm.
it's very important that you have an accountant that understands the industry in which you're in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, say for instance, management accounting or, you know, cost accounting that you may find with manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
That is not our area of expertise because, mm-hmm. you know, you have to deal with all this other stuff
mm-hmm.
that... another type of business owner that's just, they're not selling products, they're just providing services.
Sure.
You know, what they would need and what their, at the end of the day, the services that we would need to provide it to them would be a little different.
Sure.
And then overall business and advisory and consultation. Because again, business is not just, you're in business and you're just doing what you're in business for. It's
right,
multifaceted.
Right.
There's so many levels to it.
Right, right.
And so I think for us, we have the ability to really take the hardcore financial data
mm-hmm.
and then interpret how it fits into your individual life and
yeah.
or your business life. And for some people who are small business owners, mm-hmm. we have to interpret to them how it fits into both.
Right, right.
Right? Because it affects both.
Now, I didn't have this on the agenda to ask you, but
yeah.
while you're talking about it, because I know it's like, so you're working with these numbers, data.
Yes.
Like you see data all day. Data, data, data.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to money.
Yes.
Is this an emotional industry?
Listen.
You know,
listen.
I mean,
listen,
you know, because you got
yes.
two people sitting in front of you that can't, you know, well, I'm this, on this one, you know, the right is on the one extreme, the left is on the other extreme, and then, you know, the data is right in front of them. How do you kind of maneuver that behavior, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Play psychologist almost.
Well, so it's amazing that you say that because in accounting and in the financial industry, via academia, our professional training, we are taught that 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. It's black and white. It's right there. The financial says so.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're dealing with people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that make emotional decisions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then you enter into a different conversation. And as the accounting professional, I must be equipped
mm-hmm.
to deal with them both.
Mm-hmm.
Because my academic training says it's this way. But guess what? When you have a married couple that's sitting in front of you and they are arguing in
yeah.
your office,
yeah.
you have to have the ability to then to know how to bob and weave and finagle
yeah, yeah.
the emotions
sure.
because finances are very emotional.
Very tough.
It's very tough. Yeah. And I think as an industry, what I'm starting to see a shift in is we're having to really address this.
Wow.
And we have to stop just kind of overlooking it and says,
right.
well, this is what the financials say.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go
behind.
One step deeper because at the end of the day, you need and we need for the individual and the business owner to understand the story that these finances are telling them.
Mm.
But it's hard to do that though
mm.
if you're strictly technical.
Got you.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
so
if you're
good.
Strictly technical,
yeah.
and I know how I feel
mm-hmm.
when I have contracted a person or I'm paying a person
mm-hmm.
that's outside of my expertise,
mm-hmm.
And outside of my wheelhouse, I'm paying them to explain this to me in a way in which I can understand.
Right, right.
You know, don't just tell me what in your jargon, your professional acumen.
That's going to go over my
head. I need for you to really let it be known what it is that this is telling me.
That is so good.
You know, and well, I mean, I think the more as professionals that we obtain that and really understand that, then we can then relate to our clients 10 times better.
With that being said, do you believe that we're making progress? Your industry is making progress?
I do.
In this state?
I do. Definitely in this state. And particularly, I just think, as I aforementioned, we are, as an industry, we're beginning to understand a little bit of the emotional side. Now, don't get me wrong. Our integrity must stay at the highest level. Yeah, so,
sure.
You know, just because somebody is boo-hooing or singing a sad song,
right,
you know, it doesn't mean that we go back and we fudge your numbers, no.
Correct.
We're not here to do that, y'all.
Ain't gonna change the
No, we ain't gonna do that. however, but I do think that I tell people all the time. I have a good friend, Tanya. She's a psychotherapist, and I tell her all the time. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm halfway a CPA and halfway a therapist because sometimes, because we need for our clients to really better understand what this stuff is telling them.
Right,
you
right,
know, what it
right.
is that we're trying to convey. And what our finances, the interpretation of these financial statements, the balance sheets and the income statements and the like. And so as an industry, I think that we are definitely addressing ways to communicate.
Yeah.
To better communicate so that our clients are in the know about their decisions that's really affecting their bottom line.
That's incredible information. Do you believe North Carolina is a very resourceful model for business owners and individuals?
I do. So North Carolina has, and I was just at the Carolina Small Business Luncheon and Awards, and so there are a lot of access to capital that's out here.
Yeah.
Additionally, resources.
Right.
Just overall business resources. And so I think North Carolina has really worked very hard to position itself as a sound resource for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, I think a lot of the innovative businesses and the way that business looks now, you know, you got your American undergrounds and your HQs and it's all fresh now. And so I think North Carolina, we are adapting to how do we cater to these different types of business models that are popping up.
Yeah.
Right. And the North Carolina Association of CPAs, they've done a really good job with helping accounting professionals to remain abreast and to stay current and how we're able to service these different industries.
That is really, really good.
Yeah.
With that being said, with these new wave of entrepreneurs coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're different, especially millennials.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
So North Carolina's like more innovative.
Yeah.
How is the industry...
Mm-hmm.
accounting industry becoming innovative with like technology, what are some of those resources if you look at digital transformation
for sure? So now I'm not a techie, but what I have found is that the accounting industry, we've realized that we have to break accounting down in a way, because we're in the wave of small business ownership. I mean, if there is ever a time to get into business, now is really the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take, for instance, let's just say like QuickBooks software. QuickBooks, that is the number one accounting software that many businesses are really using and the go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were trained to use these larger, more complex softwares that, you know, you have to have the accounting knowledge or the bookkeeping knowledge to understand, you know, you enter the bill on this screen, but then if you're going to accrue for the expense, you have to change it and you got to do this and then you have to go to the next screen.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that for many small business owners, they cannot afford to either invest in that software and or hire the accounting professional with that expertise to be able to do it for them in such complexity. So I think overall the accounting industry has definitely come up with a lot of products and tools to cater to the small business owner.
That's so good.
To increase their chances of success. Now, allow me to insert this caveat. Small business owners, everyone should have a consultation at some sort, of some sort, with an attorney and an accountant. At some sort. It is not an expense, it is an investment. Because there's still some things, even though QuickBooks, and I'm just picking on them because, I mean, we use QuickBooks, like, we love it. Although it is, quote unquote, easy to use, but if you do not understand what the output is supposed to be, if you do not understand that, you know, your credit card is not just cash and an expense, it's a liability. You have to know how to link this stuff. You need to know, you know, is something a balance sheet item or is it an income statement item?
Like a pass-through?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all of these rules that if you don't link it correctly and if you're not getting the software to speak the language in which will produce accurate financial reports, then you're going to have a hot mess on your hands. It's going to be H-O-T-M-E-S-S. So with that being said, yes, the industry has made it very, very a lot softer to be able to enter into and really give small business owners a chance for success. For sure. Yeah,
we can digest it better.
We can digest it a lot better.
How should a business, so let me move further.
Absolutely.
How should a business owner prepare their business for this type of work within the next decade?
For sure. So I think...
Or asset, if you will, you know, prepare to implement something like this in their operations.
Well, I think it's all about your beginning stages. I think that the business owner can really set themselves up well if they really understand, number one, the reality of business ownership and the investments that they are truly going to have to make. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't shortcut your way. You got to go through it. And so it's a couple of things. I think, for one, a business owner has to understand the commitment and have, even if it's not, which I think every business owner at some point should do a business plan, but at least have an idea
of what's up,
of the ingredients that you're going to have to infuse into your business. One way is to start off with what it is that you're in business for. All right. Really have an understanding of the industry. Two. Now, remember, I said earlier in the podcast is that I had to understand what my strengths were as a business owner. That is very, very crucial. Because.
Did that hurt?
No, it didn't. It didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt my feelings. None whatsoever. Because it was harder for me to do the things that I was not good at. And I was failing terribly. Like, it was horrible. It was horrible. Because I wasn't good at it. I'd rather hire that person that there. I always said that I wanted to surround myself with extremely smart people.
That's really good.
Look, I'm all right, but I wanted geniuses that mm-hmm. were all around me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so from there, I said, if I hire the smart folk mm-hmm. that knows how to do A, B, and C, then I can perfect my strengths, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I think once I understood, now the advantage that I had, I will say, is that as an accountant, you have to take business classes. So it wasn't just accounting. I mean, I had a general business knowledge, and also I learned a lot of things from my dad of what not to do, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. my father, my father stayed in every detail of his business. Mm. He didn't build the team so he could go and either get new business or concentrate on the things that he did best in.
To work on it.
To work on the business. Mm-hmm. He worked in the business his whole 20 years. Mm. And I said, I didn't want to do that.
That's
I don't
spinning your wheels almost.
Bruh. It is like, you know, I mean, you're doing this all the time. And I'm like, man, I don't want that. I'm not going to be that really good at that. And so I think, and so beginning with the end in mind and saying, I don't know what 20 years is going to look like. I have an ideal mm-hmm. of what I would like for that to be. But let me focus on 3 to 5.
Mm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to bite it off in this
1 year increment. Yeah.
You focus this thing on a monthly basis for a while.
But by doing that, did that bring a sense of peace to you?
By doing that, it allowed for me to peace, I don't know. I think your first couple of years of business, you're trying to gain that peace. Right. Because again, I mean, especially when you're going from a huge, you know, a really, really good salary to
security to uncertainty.
You know, peace comes. It comes over time. Mm-hmm. But what I think looking at my business incrementally, mm-hmm. what that did was that it allowed for me to be able to focus better
mm-hmm.
and not bite off way mm-hmm. more than I could chew.
Gotcha.
It really allowed for me to bring it in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to dream, but let's bring it in.
Yeah.
Especially when you're making those novice business mistakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, oh, you know what I'm saying? In 2 years, I'm going to be, you know, flying across the world and stuff like that. Yeah, but you have a client that is not happy with you right now.
How you going to handle that?
How you going to handle that?
I like to tell people, business is like, man, 90%, you're putting out fires. That little jet flying and Rolls Royce riding. Let me tell you something. That's marketing. Okay?
That's marketing.
They got it. You know, because they say, well, for the headache and the fire I'm putting, I'm going to ride right, fly right. Okay.
Yeah.
But business is like 90, 95% putting out fires.
Successful business owners, I think the more that they tell their stories, like, you know, people, they're like, oh, you know, Faith, you know, congratulations, you got a staff and stuff. No, but I'm still learning from the person that's been in business for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear y'all stories.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how did you sustain?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to hear from you,
mm-hmm.
like, really be straight up with me.
Mm-hmm.
What were your years like?
Mm-hmm.
I know you were crying.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were. I know you didn't know sometimes where your next check was going to come from. And that's the reality.
She was a forensic
mm-hmm.
Accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And she said her first year in business, when I was at this conference,
mm-hmm.
she said she made $7,000.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God.
Let me tell you. Well,
it's
you know,
real.
I ain't gonna even.
Right, right.
Look,
it's
look.
Just, is that real, folks?
It is that real.
It is that real.
Like, when I look back on our first year of business, I'm like, how did I make a mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
How did I pay it?
Wow.
How did I pay a car payment at the time?
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. So what does the cost analysis of incorporating a CPA like yourself, you know,
Yeah, that is a really good question. So, it depends on what stage of business that you're in.
Some people think these CPAs, man, I ain't got time.
Man, ain't got time. Ain't got no money. $50,000, $60,000
a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Y'all need to stop y'all stuff. No, it's not that much. So, what I would say, and, you know, when we get a lot of clients in here, I tell them, listen, I'm not here to sell you a service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to really be real with you as to what it is that you need.
Yeah.
Your first year or two of business, you need to have a good CPA that can help you, number one, with your business formation to ensure that you are in the right business formation that's suitable for you.
Right.
And your industry as well as your service offerings.
Yeah.
And that can keep you on a good tax track.
Gotcha.
Right? That's all that you may need. And maybe definitely a consultation mm-hmm. to say, all right, listen, you don't need me. You don't need us for mm-hmm. every single month.
Right, right.
This is what you need to do.
So you're saying like contract you?
Absolutely. The first year or two, you're not making enough money
right,
to have
correct.
An accountant on staff every single month.
Yeah.
No, but get your consultations in.
Every quarter?
Every quarter.
So 6 months?
Every quarter to every 6 months. It really depends upon the activity
right.
that you have going mm-hmm. on at the time. Like a person that's building their business, because there are a lot of different entrepreneurs. You can have an entrepreneur that still has a full-time job. They're
right.
doing business on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice that we would give them would be different because they still have that W-2 income with taxes
mm-hmm.
that's being taken out to help
mm-hmm.
to subsidize
right.
the self-employment taxes that they may incur
mm-hmm.
with their business if they're not taking losses the first year or so.
On contract level.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then it may be very different for a person that's full time.
Right.
They're not going to hit a certain tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they may be single.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it's a person that is married
mm-hmm.
and they're married filing jointly and that person has gone into business, but then the spouse has this great income. I mean, all of these scenarios are so different.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are a lot of variations. So consultation purposes, first couple of years, you know, one or two.
Yeah.
And then definitely on the tax side. So I would tell business owners when they're starting out, get you a good tax professional or tax accountant.
Yeah.
Check in with them maybe halfway during the year
mm-hmm.
for like your first two years of business or so.
Make sure you're on the right track.
Make sure you're on the right track.
Then where y'all gonna get that at? Ain't nobody gonna tell you no juice like this. This is crazy.
Yikes.
Make sure you subscribe. Now let me ask you this. What are some myths that need to be debunked about CPAs?
CPAs are not financial planners.
Wow.
Let me say this again. I'm not going to say all because a lot of people, they come to us and they're like, can you advise me on my stocks, my bonds?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Wait a minute. let's halt the brakes. There are CPAs who are also financial planners.
Correct.
There are.
But you'll see the designation.
You will see the designation CFP
mm-hmm.
And or over the years through just your trainings, you know, learning, taking CPEs.
Mm-hmm.
There are some CPAs even without that designation that is still well versed,
mm-hmm.
but there is an automatic throw in of we are automatically financial planners.
Because you're in the lane of tax
absolutely.
Accounting, they just throw you in there. Well, we know you know.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And I am not afraid. I do not think that I am any less competent by
mm-hmm.
saying no.
Correct.
I am not that.
Mm-hmm.
Our firm, we do not specialize in that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do know a couple of and have partnered
mm-hmm.
with one or two financial planners
mm-hmm.
that, hey, when we start talking about financial planning or if there's a client
mm-hmm.
that is in need of that, we go on ahead and refer them over, and then vice versa.
Correct.
Because a lot of financial planners, they may understand some of the tax law, but it may not be their expertise. So then they'll give that over to us. And we also have, and I'm sorry not to cut you off, but we also have some clients in which we just collaborate with the financial planner, right? Because
and that's beneficial.
It's very beneficial because in order to have the proper plan, then you definitely need a little bit of this and a little bit of that and kind of mix it up so we can.
Wow. Now, when we first met, you dropped something on me. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it.
What?
Yeah, it was so hot. I just hadn't been able to stop thinking about it. And it's like, you know, since we met, my life has changed like in a couple, like even this weekend.
Wow.
It has changed, and I just keep thinking about what you're saying to me. So, you know, I love talking about work, faith, integration, right?
Yes.
How can we integrate faith in our work? But you said something that was so critical. You said, a lot of times we get results from fear. Imagine if we operate from faith.
Yes.
And what the results would be like. Can you break that down? Can you like give that inheritance? Because that was so crucial. I've been thinking about it like since we talked about it.
Fear is so destructive. Right? And I think as humans, our flesh, we are built with a flight response that is natural that we need to have. If a big grizzly bear is coming towards me, I don't need to just sit there and smile at it. You know, it is within me and you and anyone else to say, I gotta roll.
Yeah.
I have to roll.
Yeah.
Which is okay. However, there is a piece of that, though, that holds us back from our full potential. And I experienced that. I experienced that in my first about 2 years of business, where I was afraid of growth.
Wow.
I was so nervous about some of the opportunities that were coming. If you're not careful, you will sabotage those opportunities.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to you. Because out of fear, it's like, maybe I shouldn't. It's all of this. And so sometimes our decision making is out of fear, which, not saying that you won't get results, because sometimes you do get good results by playing it safe.
Right.
However, I think if we transitioned that fear into faith, hey, listen, there's some things that I can't see, that I don't see, but I believe that God is going to manifest it when the time is right. When I'm prepared for that responsibility, because this is the thing in business, sometimes we desire to just get in it, and we see the glitz and the glam that people show on social media or what we read in books. And I'm like, because what some of that is not showing you are the raw emotions
when you
don't know when that client is going to pay you.
Come on now.
Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a staff to pay. And you have, you know, a mortgage.
Come on, you're preaching now.
All right.
Come on.
Mama need a house, baby needs some shoes.
Work it out.
But at the end of the day, I'm saying all of this to say is that the results when we step out on faith, right, and knowing, say, hey, I cannot see it right now, but I know that God has revealed to me. Sure. I know that purposefully that sure. this is what I'm supposed to do.
Sure.
And I have known that, and I've seen that more so mm-hmm. to be true as yeah. of late.
I got a couple more questions for you. Absolutely. And I'm out your way. Client data infrastructure mm-hmm. is a big topic now.
It
now
is.
I won't name names, but mm-hmm. we've seen some of the biggest companies mm-hmm. get breached.
Yes.
With client information.
Absolutely.
If someone in North Carolina, specifically the RDU area, mm-hmm. is attracted to your conversation, just you, how they...
For sure.
I feel like I want to go work with her.
Right.
What has your firm done to protect client information?
Absolutely. So one of the things, so it's two areas mainly, mm-hmm. right? Definitely one is how your information is stored.
Correct.
So ShareFile is something that is really popular yeah. in the, at least I know the accounting world. I'm not too right, sure yeah, about yeah. other industries or whatever.
And mine too.
Yeah, yeah. because, I mean, again, and I'm not a techie person, yeah, yeah, yeah. but I have some other people in mm-hmm. the office who are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just sending a whole lot of stuff via email, mm-hmm. you know, you have to make sure that the encryption is there.
Right.
Also, too, you know, different softwares mm-hmm. and stuff that, mm-hmm. that you're using mm-hmm. is very, very important. And that's something else that companies and clients, I mean, even just on our computer and making sure that we have the latest mm-hmm. Software virus protection mm-hmm. on all of the computers. Mm-hmm. Little things like that
yeah,
is
yeah.
is extremely important, and it's a necessary investment.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's a little expensive, yeah. but it's all good. It's better than having someone try to sue you or anything
because
like
that cost is ridiculous.
Yeah, that cost is ridiculous. So go on ahead and invest up front mm-hmm. a couple of $100 and. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted people to know that about you.
Absolutely.
That you're not just a person that is out here
yeah.
doing it and hadn't. You're really into business.
Absolutely.
You understand operations. You understand what it takes to run a business.
Yeah.
And you're mitigating risk moving forward. And
absolutely.
I think that's the other side to business.
As
For you
sure.
grow.
As you grow.
You protect the business.
Yes.
You don't wait till you get super huge
no.
and all of it. Now I want to protect my business. I want to put the proper things in. No,
yeah.
this is you're doing this as you grow. We're
as
talking
we grow.
2015,
absolutely.
3 years now.
Yeah.
And look what you have.
I mean, we still, because I come from the world of still, like, if there are some paper documents, store them in the old school fireproof mm-hmm. file cabinet. I mean, we mm-hmm. have those as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a fire happens, you don't want mm-hmm. to just be, you know, and mm-hmm. and again, I mean, everything is still majority or for the most part digital,
right,
but
right, right.
still there's other kind of hardcore or paper documents that we have to
yeah.
secure and ensure that we have them.
Most definitely.
And just not laying out and clients coming in and
most definitely. Well, my last question to you, because you have been dropping some, you've been killing me today.
Yes.
you are crazy. I love it, man. What can we expect from your firm, you know, in the next decade or so?
Wow.
What's down the road for you guys? How are you pushing? What are you guys in the office energetic about? What's the culture here, you know?
For
like,
sure.
What's going to transcend here?
So one thing, our tagline, we're Faith Bottom CPA PC, where people matter.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of where you saw my passion in the beginning pieces of this podcast
mm-hmm.
is really helping people to understand
mm-hmm.
their finances and really connecting the emotional piece to the financial pieces
mm-hmm.
in their lives, be
correct.
It individual or business.
Correct, correct.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to do and host a lot more seminars.
Wow.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
teach more courses. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote a very teeny tiny small book called Build Faith in Your Business. And
can
that's
can we get it?
Yes, yes. It's on Amazon. Word. It costs like a couple bucks or whatever. Yeah. And normally I have, I sold out of my hard copies. I think mm-hmm. I have some at the house, but and I also wrote a small curriculum to mm-hmm. it called Build Faith in Your Business. And I have taught that. I most recently taught that down in Atlanta. And wow. And it's funny that we bring that up because there was a lady, she has a business down in Miami. Mm-hmm. And she took a picture of one of the pages I was talking about. The first 5 years, the first 5 stages mm-hmm. of business ownership, just mm-hmm. kind of straight, you know, year one, this is what the business owner should expect, mm-hmm. up to year five. Mm-hmm. And she took a picture of it and she put it on her Instagram story feed. Wow. And she says, I'm still studying this.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
And so you never know, right. you know, you really never right. know. And so I right. really want us to develop more printed resources or mm-hmm. digital resources. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really teach. Mm-hmm. I love, and I have a couple of other clients in here, we love to teach.
Wow.
And so the accounting, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. the budgets and the mm-hmm. and the month and
people need to know that.
Yeah, people need to know that.
But
really helping business owners, you know, teaching them mm-hmm. Because it's much more than money coming in,
right.
money coming out.
We don't need any more technical stuff.
No.
For technical personalities.
No.
We need technical professions, but not the personality.
Exactly. Yeah. And helping people to really navigate through, and I have a heart for business owners and entrepreneurs.
Indeed.
And so having, and helping them to navigate through the tough times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they come.
Mm-hmm.
But what to do, how to mitigate against it,
mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm,
possible,
mm-hmm.
and if not, how to walk your way mm-hmm. through it.
I love that.
So that's what we have a heart for. And some other things, I think, from a cultural standpoint of what our firm is, when we say where people matters, not just our clients, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. we have set a standard internally for ourselves.
Mm.
Anyone that walks in, we have some
core values,
yeah. our goals. We want people to see our goals. It's not just our goals
mm-hmm.
internally, but mm-hmm. we want our clients and or people that's interested in us. And if it's just a stranger off the street,
mm-hmm.
this is what we're about. This is what we are striving for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that has to necessarily be kept secret.
Right, 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 right.
And then it's funny with our staff. Systems theory is something that I love,
mm-hmm.
Systems theory of an organization,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that I think internally,
mm-hmm.
as we help to perfect it,
mm-hmm.
we'll be able to teach that
wow.
to organizations and entrepreneurs as well. So that's a piece of the firm that I really want to develop as time continues to move on.
So you are trying to be a powerhouse.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we're trying to do.
I absolutely love it. Faith, thank you so much
for
coming
for
on
invitation.
The show. I'm telling you, man, you have blessed me so much today. You
man,
don't even know.
Man, I appreciate the invitation for sure. Anytime.
To all our listeners out there, this is The Inheritance. This is what it's all about, me bringing you industry experts. Breaking down the industry specifically due to the RDU area. This is what we have. Look at the
sure.
type of people that are coming through. God is placing inside of our cities that we can do business with. Not only business, but just learn from.
That's right.
And get their mind and what God has given them.
Absolutely.
Expanding them. Man, I hope much more success to you, Faith.
Thank you.
We are friends for life.
Hey, I'm with it. Absolutely.
We're going to be teaching. We're going to do a lot of things. And
for
I
sure.
think, you know, you have a bright, very bright future ahead of you.
Thank you. I receive
and,
it.
And as long as I'm around, I'm going to have you around.
Hey!
And it's going to be absolutely incredible. So I hope that you guys are enjoying this podcast and getting a lot from what we're doing. Y'all know who I am. Faith, where can they find you?
They can find me, our company, Faith Bynum CPA PC. We're on Instagram under Faith Bynum CPA PC, as well as Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a website, faithbynum.com. Feel free to visit us there.
Yeah, it's a nice site, too. It's real plush.
Thank you.
Yeah, mobile-friendly everything.
Hey, that's what we're aiming for.
So until next time, I told y'all I'm going to be bringing y'all the juice, man. So, hey, listen, y'all know who I am. It's your boy, Brent Wright. I'm out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.